Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. And Father, I pray that this afternoon that that power will be released amongst us, that faith shall be created in our hearts to receive that word, and it will be a word, Lord, that we shall take into our hearts and that we shall apply every day in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. As most of you know, some time ago we closed the bookshop at Hull, and as Ken is very much aware, all the stock came back to us in the warehouse, and Ken's been gradually unpacking the boxes and laboriously listing the titles and all the details and putting them back on the shelves. And I was doing some work and looking for a particular book to put on the system. And I came across this one. It's called The B Word. And actually, it's about the blessing. And it's really blessed me. And I thought I might just pass a few thoughts on that I found very, very good. And I think it's very appropriate to us at this time. So let's pin our ears back and listen and just pick up what God wants to say to us about the blessing. It's interesting that the blessing is mentioned 500 times in the Bible. And that's a lot. That's far more than the mention of being born again. Though being born again is extremely the number one significant mention to me. But it is important if God chooses to speak of it 500 times in the Bible. And the definition of a blessing, it's an impartation of the supernatural power of God into another as spoken by a delegated authority of God. Now, all of us who are born again are delegated authorities of God, and the words we speak carry the anointing and the power of God. Now, think how powerful your words are. That is a supernatural power of God is imparted when you speak a word over someone. The word bless is a verb, and in the Hebrew it means to kneel or to bow, to give reverence. And in the implication is it's somebody, it's an important, a person who is important to you. So you are blessing somebody who is important to you. Your children, your partner, your family, your friends, your town, your neighbours, your city, your nation. All these things are important to us, aren't they? Because whether we sometimes think it or not, it affects us, all these things we're affected by. We've spoken many, many times on the power of words, especially in the early days. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can curse somebody, you can speak death over somebody by the things that you say, or you can speak life into someone by the good things that you say. We can bless or curse with your mouth. You can build up or you can tear down. You can enhance or you can destroy. You can improve someone's life or you can wreck it. That's power. That is real power. Purely by what you say. So what are blessings? Blessings are words of approval. They are words of appreciation, thankfulness. The words of love. The words of success. They are words of favour. And you know, when somebody blesses you, I know when I've done something and somebody has appreciated it and they've spoken out that appreciation, inside you get a really warm glow. You get this real sense of peace and warmth, and it just makes you feel secure. It brings that security inside. And especially when it's spoken by significant people in our lives. You know, when your boss tells you you do a good job, that really does make you feel warm and happy. When your husband tells you that you look really good today, I'm proud of you. And when you cook him a meal and he says, "This is delicious," you're a good cook. You know, the small things, but they mean such a lot. Don't let's take one another for granted. Let's choose to bless. And every opportunity we get, to thank somebody for what they do for us. Let's show our appreciation. And let's make them feel good. Let's build people up and not pull them down. That's the most powerful thing that we can do. You know, when somebody speaks nice words to you, it brings a calm into your spirit. It gives a rest. It makes you feel full of joy. And good words, kind words, they unite us. And they create confidence and trust in us. But you know, if somebody speaks a harsh word to you, what does it do? It cuts you. It makes you recoil. It makes you shrivel up inside. It makes you want to run and hide. It just grieves you in your spirit. It pulls you down. You know it, you've had it, we've all had it. And there's just two total opposites. I don't want to pull somebody down. I don't want to tear somebody to bits. You know, there's enough of that in the world. God is a God who wants to encourage his people and bless his people and do us good. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing God did when he made man was bless his creation. That's beautiful. And if you just want to do a quick check there, it's Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. I don't like this in my Bible. It says, "So God created humankind." God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth." God blessed his creation. That was the first thing he did. We always go back to the beginning, don't we? Whenever you want to know if something, the original, if a principle is right to do, go back to the beginning of the Word of God and find out where God does it. He did it with his creation. We see, and we'll not read it, but God blessed Noah with the same blessing after the flood. That was necessary because all of mankind had been wiped out apart from Noah and his family. And so when the earth was dry and Noah came out of the ark, God again blessed him with that same blessing. And we all know that God blessed Abraham, tremendously so. You know, it's a Jewish tradition for parents to daily bless the children, and I think that's beautiful. They, by doing this, they're shaping the children's future. And it's interesting that the day after Christmas they call is a blessing day, and we call it Boxing Day. You know, I'm promoting here that we change the tradition. And that we, instead of having Boxing Day, we have Blessing Day. And we get together and we have a meal and we celebrate. And then at the end of it, we bless one another. We speak good words to one another. We speak positive words to one another. We bless one another's future. You know, I think we ought to think about that at Christmas. When your family's together, get together and bless one another. You know, you don't have to think, "Oh, I can't prophesy." You can. We all prophesy when we speak. And when you speak the word of God, when you speak good things, godly things, you are prophesying good things into people's lives. I want to see good things happen to all of you. And I want good things to happen to me. And so let's speak a blessing. The first recorded sermon that Jesus ever gave was in Matthew 5. And it's the Beatitudes. And they're all about the blessings. How important is this blessing? It really is. There are nine powerful blessings that will shape your future. I'm not going to read them here now, but the scripture, if you want to write it down, is Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. In Mark 10, verses 14 to 16, we see that Jesus blessed the children. He took them on his knee and he blessed them. We've been talking today about the importance of being childlike and receiving that blessing. It's interesting that the last action Jesus did before he ascended into heaven was to bless. And that's in Luke chapter 24. Let's have a quick look at that. Luke 24, verses 50 to 52. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. Wow. You know, what you sow, you reap. Jesus sowed blessing into our lives. He sowed blessing into his disciples, into the children, into the families, into all that he met. He sowed blessing. And what did he reap? Blessing. They were found in his house, blessing the Father. Wow, such power in blessing. To wipe my eyes. The Word of God says, bless your enemies and don't curse them. This is a toughie, got to admit. The last thing you want to do, I bet the last thing Michaela wants to do, is bless who punctured all four tyres for her. You know? It's not your natural way, is it? The natural man thinks, I don't really wish. I wish somebody would come and do the same to them. But I assure you today, it's not the way forward. Blessing is the way forward. John's been learning about blessing. You know, when we stop cursing, when we forgive and bless, God will turn our situations. We'll be a lot healthier. I'm all for that. I don't want to put myself under a curse. Romans 12 and verse 17 says we're to overcome evil with good. So you're overcoming evil with good, Ivy, aren't you? When you bless your enemies. So instead of speaking a curse over them, say, God, bless my enemies. Bless those who've done me wrong. And whatever they've done, just ask God to show you how to bless them and impart good into their lives. Amen. And this is interesting. When God blesses, a curse can't change it. Now, I like that. And God says we're all blessed. He turns our curses into blessings. When you belong to God, you are blessed, and the devil and nobody else can alter that. You cannot be cursed. And we'll read, because I love this, Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12. Numbers 22 and verse 12 says, God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them, you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Balak had paid Balaam to go and curse the Israelites. And as willing as Balaam was, for whatever reason I can't imagine, God stopped him and he said, you will not curse those Israelites. They are blessed. And again in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 8. Numbers Balaam says, "How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom God has not denounced?" God will turn our curses into blessings. Jesus was the sacrifice for our blessings. He took the curse in his body on the tree. And in Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, it's a very well-known scripture and the most powerful one for us. Galatians 3:30. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Jesus took the curse so that we might inherit the blessing. Praise God. So that means all of us are blessed. The curse is broken. In Christ Jesus, you are not cursed. You are blessed. If there's sickness in your body, you are cut off from the natural family line. Any inherent sicknesses in your family, any curses coming down the bloodline of the family, cannot affect you, because the Word of God says you are blessed. He became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus was nailed to a tree, and that was the result of the curse that he took. And he broke that curse, and he said, "It is finished." Amen. Encouragement. The word encouragement means to put courage into someone else. Well, I'm all for encouraging somebody. I want to put courage in people. There's too many that will do otherwise. So if encouragement puts courage into somebody, blessing does it and much more, because it can change the course of a person's destiny. In Proverbs 3, we're told we're not to withhold blessing when it's in our power to give it. So the blessing is a permanent thing too. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 33. Genesis 27 and verse 33. This is where Jacob had been and stolen the birthright from Esau. And Esau came to his father, Israel, and he came for his blessing. And in verse 33, "Then Isaac trembled violently and said, 'Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and blessed he shall be.'" And then further down, Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, father? Bless me also, father," in verse 38. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then his father Isaac answered Esau, "See, away from the fatness of the earth shall your home be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you break loose, you shall break his yoke from off your neck." You know, that is, there's a lesson here to be learned. When Esau stopped fighting and living by the sword, when he stopped this attitude of animosity against Jacob, when he forgave his brother, and that hatred and that bitterness was gone from his heart, and he showed love and forgiveness in his attitude towards Jacob, then he broke free from the yoke of serving and being a slave to his brother, and God was then able to bless him. Now, I think that's a powerful lesson there. We cannot curse or hold unforgiveness or bitterness to anyone in our hearts, because as we've said, John has testified, it will bring bitterness and it will mess your body up. It will rebound on you, and you will never be free from it until you forgive and you start blessing your enemies. Bless those who've done you down. Decide, I'm going to bless them because I'm going to free myself from this slavery, this bondage that I've put myself under, this curse that I am under. And I'm not going to curse my enemy, I'm going to bless them and forgive. So the power of the blessing is tremendous. We see Jesus had 12 disciples, and they were chosen by him, and he shaped their future by speaking blessings into their life. He said they would be the light of the world. He said they would be the salt of the earth. He said they would be life changers. And what were they? Life changers. That wasn't the case when he spoke the word. We all know how weak Peter was. You know, Peter, he was like a reed that just wafted in the breeze. He was very, very weak. But you know, in Isaiah, in the word of the Lord in Isaiah, God says that a bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he'll not snuff out. You know, God will always speak strength into the, where there's a flicker of life, he will speak strength and he will speak life and blessing. So Peter, he was imperfect and he was flawed. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you are a rock, a small rock. And on this rock, the rock of Christ Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He told Peter, you will be a rock on the big rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Peter was going to succeed. Jesus had spoken life. He'd spoken blessing into his life. And Peter did succeed. Peter became a rock, and he became a glowing light to the world. Another blessing which I think is tremendous, and one which we need to underline, and I would recommend you speak over your children and your family every day. It's the Aaronic blessing, and it's in Numbers 6. Numbers 6, verses 24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'd like someone to speak that into my life every day. Give me peace, the blessing, the favour of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the priesthood were qualified to bless the people. In the New Testament, what are we? Kings and priests unto God. So every one of us is qualified to speak blessing to another. I thank God that he has no favourites. We can all do what he says we can do. We can all bless one another. And you know, it's great that parents, I would encourage parents, every day, speak blessing over your children. You know, we've been speaking blessing over Claire and Jonathan, that God gives them favour, that he gives them success. We've been speaking when the kids start school, don't we? We speak, give them a spirit of excellence, Father. Give them success in their studies. Give them favour. It's good every day to get into the habit of speaking blessings over your child. I was reading an instance in this book about mum takes the kids to school and the kids wouldn't get out the car without mum speaks the blessing over them for that day. How important is that blessing? Every day we need to bless one another, especially our families. You know, you can, a lot of kids, and especially in this day and age, have come out with a spirit of rejection. We need to speak acceptance to our children. We need to know, our children need to know that they are loved and accepted. And it's not rated on their performance. I thank God loves me, and it's not on my performance. He loves me with an everlasting love, an agapeo love, a love that demands nothing in return, a love that says, I love you because you're my child. So let's speak that way to our children, whether they perform well or whether they perform badly. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. I just love this one. It's good for husbands to bless the wives and to speak blessing to them. Yes, speak blessing over them and pray blessing over them, but also tell them. It's really good when you tell somebody a blessing, when you speak a blessing over somebody. It really empowers them and makes them stand tall and feel good. So for your children, tell them they've done well. You know, don't, if they got 7 out of 10, don't say, well, you could have got 9. You know, that's not encouraging. Say to your kids, you've done superbly. Let's go for more next time. But you've done well. You've done good. We need to encourage these kids. Amen. Proverbs 31. I'm going down to verse 26. This is the godly woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband too, he praises her, or he blesses her. He says to her, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's lovely. A husband praises a wife. The children praise and bless their mother. That's a bit of a rare thing these days, I think. But you know, if we bless our children, if we speak good things, then we'll receive what we've sown. We'll reap what we've sown. They'll learn this lifestyle of blessing. It's good that siblings can bless one another. I'll not read that, but when Rebecca was chosen to be the wife of Isaac, her brothers and sisters blessed her before she left with Abraham's servant. You know, there's lots of instances in Scripture where families, brothers and sisters, it's great because, you know, we don't want sibling rivalry. We want siblings to bless one another and to speak good things over one another, to watch out for one another and do one another good. Another area of blessing is excellent, and that is blessing adverse circumstances. When things, your circumstances are not going well, don't start saying it's not good. Start blessing it. Start speaking good things into it. Start speaking the opposite of what